decided when our church was doing baptisms this summer, I would be baptized. And I have really bad knees, so my sister-in-law was asking me, when are you gonna get these knees fixed? Because I was hobbling around their house. And I said to her, well, you know, Gail, I'm kind of waiting for God to heal them. And she's like, well, that's never gonna happen. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, you know, I know that you can do this. And so I'm asking you to heal my knees when I'm baptized, to show Gail that you are a God of miracles and that you are capable of anything and that you love us enough to do it for us. And so I got baptized, and when I came up out of the water, I was thinking, man, this, you know, I'm gonna be healed. And it was better, but it was not gone. And over the week, every day, it just got a little better and a little better. And I had more and more peace and more joy and just more assurance that this was what was gonna happen. And until I'm now able to bend down and dig around in the cupboards under the sink and vacuum, do stairs, which I've not done in over a year. So I just want to give God all the glory and all the praise for healing my knees and showing my sister and the congregation that God does heal.
Good afternoon, you guys. You made it to Green Lake. You guys are very traditional in coming around at this time of the year, and we're very excited about having you guys here. Hopefully you didn't have any trouble traveling and getting here safely, but I got to tell you, we have stories of hope like this, probably like 20 of them throughout the week that we're going to show you guys, that we're really excited about, things that God is doing in local churches across our region that we get to kind of celebrate together. I'm Brenda Gatlin, if you don't know me.
And I'm Michael.
And we are really echoey. We're a lot of things.
I have lots of feedback for everybody.
Michael, if you know Michael, you guys should stand up and say, yeah, I've gotten your feedback.
You've
given me feedback, Mr. Gatlin. I'm the Midwest North regional leader. Michael is also part of the executive team for the Vineyard Movement, but he also is leading Multiply Vineyard in the Vineyard Movement. And so he just happens to be in our region. He just happens to be my husband. He just happens to be kind of riding my coattails here. So thank you for...
I have been... Are we on? Are we good? Nope, we're not good.
What should we do?
Grab
a different mic. Should we introduce Al right now? Let's all look at Al. Al, nice to have you with us, Al.
How about now? Check, check, check. 1, 2, 3, 4. Check, check. The check is in the mail. Hey, there we are again. I've been riding your coattails for a long time.
I know, and you know what? Mine don't get you very far. But when I ride yours, I actually get a lot of mileage out of them. So, but
is this mic good now? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you see me now?
A lot of us have enjoyed the rhythm of coming to Green Lake, haven't we, for quite a few years now. I don't even know how many years we've been coming. I've lost count over the years. But one of the things that we pray about is just you coming here as pastors and leaders and having an opportunity to kind of really tune into God and, you know, just find some refreshment, find some freedom, find some margin from your busy ministry-filled lives. And so we're really excited about you being here. There's churches from all over Wisconsin, Minnesota. Oh, that was kind of a lame woo-woo, but...
Were you trying to get, like, more of a... Okay, Minnesota!
There we go.
Wisconsin! Illinois! Iowa!
You're at the wrong regional meeting, sweetheart. No, you're welcome to come.
Texas! I can go on.
Well, we know that you guys push through lots of all different kinds of things just to be able to be here. And if you have families and jobs and other things that you have to, you know, navigate your way through that there is a cost. And so, you know, we've been praying that God would invest back in you. And I just thank you for making this the effort and coming and gathering with us for a few days, because I know that as we kind of anticipate God, he's already been anticipating us, you know, being here and meeting us here. So it's going to be good, a great time.
That was really fun. I want to try it. Thank you!
What?
I was having so much fun. I just wanted to...
Well, you could just keep putting your arms up the whole time I'm talking if you like, honey. But I did get you a gym membership that you don't use that maybe... You should consider coming to the gym with me if you want
to
do those kinds of things.
Anything else?
Well, I've never seen you.
Anything else going on here?
Do it again. I mean, do the arm thing again a couple more times.
Now I'm self-conscious.
Right, see? Because you should be doing that at a gym, not on a stage.
Yeah, but then they like attach things to it. It's more fun. Brenda! Oh, see, there you go.
All right, okay. Stick to your script, sweetheart. I'd spent a lot of time on it for you, okay? So this week, I'm about to fire you. This week, it always is a risk having him up here.
I'm so distracted.
But it's worth, you are distracting. Like, when we go to the grocery store and I'm trying to shop, and I like forget half of the stuff when he's with me, and then we get home, he's like, how come we didn't get eggs? I'm like, because I'm distracted by you when I'm in the grocery store. Like,
when you're, I'm not there.
I still forget the eggs. That's a different excuse. This is a different reason.
Okay,
but what I hope and pray that they will experience, you know, this week. What I think I'm really excited about, I want to experience it. I think it would be really good for all of us. Is some space, some really great margin and space to kind of, I think of it as sort of like breathe, you know, mentally and emotionally and spiritually and even physically, just kind of stop and breathe. You're going to model that for us now, I see. And also, I really anticipate the Holy Spirit meeting us here. And, you know, one of the things that God constantly reminds us as a regional team when we're preparing for these kinds of things for you is that, you know, we don't get to decide what you experience or, you know, if you respond to God or what he does. But what we can do is create this arena, a space where the Holy Spirit can come and you can come in and have that experience with God. And I really anticipate that the Holy Spirit's going to touch you mentally and emotionally and spiritually and even physically as well. And then just great relationship. You know, I know that this is a high value for us, you know, as a region and even it's a distinctive of the Vineyard movement that we need each other, right? Like a whole community just to encourage one another, even mentally and emotionally and spiritually and even physically. So I'm excited for you guys to be here.
Yes. I was actually just talking to HLI, Michaela, one of our HLI leaders. Hey, let's try again. HLI. HLI!
Oh, my goodness.
There you go. I was talking with Michaela, and she was saying, hey, so what do you like about these retreats? Because I think I've been coming to, like regional retreats for close to 30 years now. And she just said, what do you like about it? And I said, the number one thing I love about this is you guys. This is like the relationships that we have. And so really investing in this is good. And so speaking of relationship and social media, because they like tie right together, there's a hashtag for the event if you want to like watch what everybody's tweeting, Instagramming, Facebooking. Are there more? Snapchatting. Okay, anyway, hashtag for the event. Green Lake 2017. And if you want Wi-Fi in this room, there's actually a password. Let me give it to you so we can just crash it.
Yeah.
Right? It's Chapel Car 44. Is it up on the screen? Can you see it? Sweet. There you go. That's the Wi-Fi password for this room in case you were just, some of us were in a panic mode because we couldn't connect. Now you can connect. God bless you. It's cool. Have fun. Rock and roll.
Awesome. Well, I also had prayed a lot, Michael, about what little gift would I like to give these guys at the regional meeting. I always like to, I like the gift-giving aspect and, you know, what little gift am I going to get? And so after pondering about it while I was on sabbatical this summer for quite a while, I thought we should do something local, you know? And the thing that I could think of in Wisconsin
beer
was cheese.
Oh yeah, cheese.
And so I found this awesome little, you know, small cooperative creamery that's not very far away, and they made this special cheese in different flavors for us and packaged it for us and sent it one day, Federal Express, not very many miles away, and it didn't arrive. One day Federal Express in Wisconsin is 4 day. In Wisconsin, it's 4 day. One day means 4 day or something.
You didn't just rip on Wisconsin.
Oh, no.
No, you didn't do that.
You work for Federal Express,
so did it not
let's
come,
talk.
Or did it come?
It actually arrived late after some of you went through registration. So we're going to give it out later, right? Makosa? So just going to... So they need to go like back through.
I saw some people gave me a taste of theirs. It was pretty good.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You already got a cheese curd.
I did. And I'm wondering, how many pounds of cheese did you order?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's like a lot of cheese.
It was a lot. It is a lot of cheese.
For like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Are we handing out prunes later in the week?
Oh my gosh, Michael.
What? Is that inappropriate?
TMI. Okay. Come on. Well, so cheese. It's a little bit of a cheesy gift, but you know. It's local, right? It's farm to table. Farm to Federal Express to Oshkosh to back here,
table.
Your table. Also wanted to mention that after moving our meeting times up for the World Series last year, which, you know, capsized everything, many of you agreed that you liked it a little bit easier if we started a little bit earlier. So our meeting times are at 6:30, so don't get caught off guard by that in the evenings. We'll meet back here for our evening sessions. At 6:30, so you don't want to miss worship, and you'll have to help each other remember. Still plenty of time. Dinner's over at 5 to 6, so still plenty of time to start at 6:30. But we are celebrating kind of the end of 5 years as a region. Can you believe that? We've been doing this for 5 years in the Midwest North region, we have some new leaders that are coming into play that I want to introduce to you in a minute here. We're very excited about just the place that we're at in the Vineyard Movement and what God's done and the resources that we have. We're at a really good place in the life of our movement as a Vineyard family. And it's actually really, really exciting time. And Phil did ask several of us if we would be willing to serve for another 5 years, and I prayed about it for a little bit, and I decided that I would. So we're on for another 5 years, you guys.
Brenda!
So, but this really has been such a privilege, such a sweet spot for me as a leader to serve with the regional team, whom I'm going to introduce to you too. Also, hopefully you got this amazing regional report that we handed out at registration. If you didn't get one of those, I encourage you to be sure and stop by the registration table and pick that up. All kinds of ways that we can celebrate what God's doing, some stories of hope there, a little demographics, like how are we doing as far as regional diversity and church size and a financial update and some really good celebrative things, and then lots of resources. And then, of course, I have some pictures and bios of all our area leaders and regional specialists that I hope you get to know better this week. When you're here too. So I'm excited about just how this can help us celebrate. There's a lot to celebrate, and it was hard to figure out how to capture it all, so that's the purpose of this little gem, and I'm excited for you to have time to kind of peruse that. I wanted to also introduce the regional team to you just by having them stand so you could just see who they are and where they are in the room. I'm not going to have them come up because you have more information in this little regional report than we could even give you here. But if the regional team is here, would you guys stand up for us?
Yes.
There they are.
Wonderful.
These are area leaders and specialists in our region. And they gather smaller groups of churches, of course, throughout the year and care and connect and communicate with you some of the larger vision from our national executive team. We really think of ourselves not so much as overseers, but that we're here to serve you as local churches and to care for you. That's kind of our role as a regional team. And just to kind of help you connect relationally and help communicate some of the vision that's coming from the Vineyard USA as well, and help you stay connected to our larger Vineyard family. And I tell you, these people are amazing. What a privilege to sit at the table with them. We spent a couple hours praying over churches in our region yesterday by name, and just asking God's heart to come and for the breakthroughs that you're praying for as well, because we really do love you and want you to experience God's heart for you.
We want to introduce a few more people, so I'm going to have them stand. Mike and Char Turgiano from New York City are here hanging out with us. Give them a round of applause. We have really come to love and admire Mark and Char. They've been involved in the Vineyard since the very earliest days. They've been pastoring in New York City, right in the five boroughs of New York City, really helping train leaders, young leaders, church planters, and really helping churches be healthy. A few years ago, 2013, they started the Main and the Plain, which is a foundation whose mission is to prepare the next generation of leaders and churches and to care for existing pastors. And so Mike will be hosting some breakout sessions. You can grab him. You can chat over meals. He's going to be helping us lean into some Holy Spirit ministry. He was here with us last year. We're so thankful to have them back. Just to kind of pour God's heart and, that just been with us in the Vineyard for such a long time. And there's just such a richness to just their experience and their relationship with the Lord. I just invite you, if you don't know them, you just look for the other really cool guy with a hat on. He's the first cool guy with the hat right there. So yeah. You look for him, it'll be great. He's fine.
Yeah, you guys were with us last year, and it was so rich that they kind of asked if they could come back, to be honest, because they really loved you guys. And I said, absolutely. And the deposit that, Mike just had so much fun just depositing as a wise sage. So I highly encourage you. They have a lot to offer and more resources to sow back into the Vineyard, but you just need to talk to them or go to the session and have a conversation and pick up some of those things. I want to introduce just my friends and my project manager, Makosa. Yay, Makosa. Let's do a arm of
Makosa.
And Christy Kemick. Christy, stand up. These Christy. Gals. And my Duluth Vineyard staff. You stand up. The Duluth Vineyard staff.
Yes,
a lot falls on them
guys.
That is green. When Green Lake is happening, it's we're a regional team, and we try not to have Duluth Vineyard support all of that, but sometimes things kind of overflow and fall on their plate. And, our worship folks that are from Duluth, they serve so well here, and I do really depend on them. And, man, I could not do life without those guys or you, sweetie. But I really thank you to, just give them a hug. Everybody hug them. And tell them that you love
them. I
don't
know why that was funny that you included me, but it was funny. Like me and three people over there thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I
These guys that. Are That's so good. Gracious and so, capable and gifted. And what a treat it is to see them thrive in God's kingdom and be who God created them to be as they serve you. And I love
right
serving
on.
With
yeah.
them. We also want to just highlight, make sure they don't fall between the cracks, our new area leaders. That we have, because we have a little bit of changing of the winds, or we're just multiplying too. We're growing and adding. Our region has more area leaders than any other region, just because we're growing. And so would Anita and Dave stand up? Anita and Dave are new area leaders in the Chicago area. Thank you, guys. Serving with us. And then Miguel and Rocia, where are you guys? There they are. I'm excited. Miguel is, Omero has been at AEL, and these guys came from Omero's church. They went to Burnsville, Minnesota. They planted a Lavinia there, and there's Lavinia's multiplying around them as they do ministry there. So we have four now, I think, in Minnesota. And so Miguel is the new Spanish-speaking AEL for those Lavinias. Isn't that cool? Like that.
Cool.
I think he's, probably the first one in the nation. But I'm very excited about that. And Dave and Anita are in Tom and Jill's area. And so I would love to have Tom and Jill come up. These guys have served, we don't even know how many years, like 35, 40 years as ALs. They just look really young. But, you know, let me tell you something about these guys. When I became a regional leader, it was a time of transition, and a lot of the area leaders were new. And I pretty much went to Chicago, sat down. I can remember having breakfast with these guys and trying to talk them into staying on the team with me for 5 years. And we had a wonderful kind of robust conversation. Of course, they were willing to serve. But I would not have wanted to do those first 5 years without you guys. I've always felt incredible love and support. And the things that you have brought to our team have gotten us to today. And so I'm so grateful. They're going to step aside, focus on some other things, continue to repurpose their gifts, and continue to sow into our region, of course. But David and Anita will be taking their place. So we have a gift to give you. And we just want to say we love you so much. And don't you be moving out of the region now. Thank you, guys.
All right, I want to introduce a little video from Phil Strout. He's our national director and just speaking to us about leadership multiplication. Take it away, Phil.
Hey, folks. Phil Strout here. You know, I just want to chat with you for a few minutes about leadership multiplication. You know, over the last few years, we've really been pressing into EELD, evangelism, discipleship, leadership, development, leadership multiplication, and diversity. And we've come off a phenomenal summer where, you know, our conference, we drilled in a little bit further, took another layer of the onion off on our conversation and our commitment to diversity. One of the things as we go into the fall and as we're looking ahead, we have felt a very, very strong conviction to have several conversations about leadership, leadership multiplication, leadership recognizing that, you know, it's hard for all of this to go forward without the leadership. All of you who pastor local churches and work in local churches, you know as well as I do, most of it is moving forward with a good level of good leadership. I wish there was a plethora, just a warehouse of great leaders around the country. Newsflash, there's not. I'm not talking just about the video, I mean just in general. We live in a culture that's incredibly self-serving, self-important, self-promoting, and, you know, I've got it deep in my heart that we need to really, really take a fresh look at what does it mean to multiply leaders, to recognize leadership in somebody that the Lord is doing. And I've said for these last several years, as we evangelize freely, everybody, as we disciple, everyone that responds to that evangelism. But amongst those disciples, there are leaders. And I want to, this is not going to be, this is only going to be a couple of minutes, but I want you to be aware that for the next year, you know, we're going to be bringing this up along with the other things that we talk about. It's not as though one of the EDLDs is more important than the other, but we just keep that in a swirl in the sense of keep bringing it up. And someone said, well, I wish we'd talk about this, I wish we'd talk about that. We'll get to everything. But I'm keenly aware that, you know, to multiply out another 600 churches to replace probably in excess of 100 pastors over the next few years, as we've been doing over these last 2, 3, 4 years, a lot of transition and age and retirement, etc., then we need a big, big pipeline. But not only that, you in your church, you know the reality of how important leadership is. So maybe go back to the shelf. We read some of those great leadership books, but I want you to read it in the thing to be thinking about what does it mean to multiply leaders? What does it mean to recognize, recruit, and train, to deploy, and nurture, and monitor? What does that actually mean? And that it's not going to get old. As soon as you've raised up a group of folks, and men and women, and you've released them into leadership, what do? You do it. Vineyard Service Group is looking at gathering in some materials to make some recommendations for you, not only the issue of leadership, but multiplying leaders, reproducing leaders. If you know somebody in your orbit, in your circle, that has been very good over the years of multiplying leaders, get in a conversation with them. Talk to them, ask them how they did it, why they did it, what were they looking for, what do they do when they're disappointed, they invested a couple of years in somebody and it didn't work out, how do you overcome all the different obstacles to multiplying leaders? So, folks, I'm just telling you, you're going to hear a lot about this and we'll keep talking about it. So, EDLD, baby, do it again. God bless you.
EDLD, baby.
Yeah! Let's do that a bunch of times and send that video to Phil of us doing that. He'd be so
maybe
proud
not.
Of us.
My arms are getting tired.
So it's great just to be reminded of that, isn't it? And hopefully next year, Phil's on sabbatical this year, but next year I did put in a request that maybe he could be a part of our gathering and come and speak in person, so we'll pray to that end. But it's good to hear from him and be reminded of what's important. And so... Who is this, like, your first time to Green Lake? Oh, a lot of you.
Sweet. Welcome.
So
glad you're here. Awesome.
We love that. We love having new people, and we love welcoming you, and we love helping you have a great first experience. So if in any way, if we can help you get oriented or anything like that, just grab us and ask, and we're so glad you guys are here. But you might not know... a little bit of the rhythms of what happens. So I just want to touch on one thing. Lots of great instructions and things in your little workbook that you got at registration that you can refer to. But a couple of years ago, just in an effort to really help you as pastors kind of receive some personal soul care, we wanted you to experience some things that maybe you hadn't experienced before. And we started spending an entire day on individual soul care appointments. And lots of you from the region have volunteered to serve each other in that way. And we've had, you know, all kinds of offerings. And our hope was that you would come and, you know, maybe have that spiritual director appointment and it would be your first experience and it would be so fruitful that you would go home and maybe get a spiritual director or get a coach or, you know, some of the things that you experienced through those soul care appointments. And my team has done an amazing job to organize this. It's quite an effort, actually. And you already signed up for your individual soul care appointment when you registered. But if you take your name tag out, on the inside of your name tag, when you open it up from that little plastic folder, you're going to find your name, your individual soul care appointment, the time, and the location. So it's all right there. You should have no trouble finding it. It's what you requested when you registered to the best of our ability. We might have had to give you a second choice or something like that. But in your workbook, there's a description of all the soul care appointments so you can kind of know what to expect. There's also a map in there that will help you get to the right place for your appointment. And there will be a host in the lobby of the building. If you can get to the building and find the host inside the door, they can give you specific directions about where you'd need to go for all of those to connect with the people who are serving you in those individual soul care appointments. They all happen between breakfast and dinner. So it's kind of like all day. We don't have a morning session. You wake up, you go to breakfast, and then you spend the day doing your individual soul care appointments, as well as we have these breakout sessions. They're larger groups. You don't register for them. You just drop in. And the times are listed, the locations are listed. And those are our specialists in the region who are, you know, helping you in all kinds of different areas. And so you can read the descriptions of those breakout sessions in your booklet as well. And just feel free to attend anyone, any amount of them. You know, if they're not at the same time, you can go to as many as you like all day. And then also enjoy just free time and participate in whatever you want to tomorrow. So it's kind of a day of rest and soul care. I'm going to have you met Christy. Christy, wave again. Christy's going to stand in the kind of central area of the main lobby, and she will answer your questions. She'll kind of be there after breakfast, be a little like a signpost. If you feel confused at all about what your name tag says, where you're going, check in with Christy. She has coordinated this stuff, and you know, to a T, and so she knows how to sort us all out. And so she's also meeting with all of you who are volunteering to serve in those soul care appointments, all our spiritual directors, our prophetic prayer team people. She's going to meet with you all. Dinner's from 5 to 6. And then, you know, if you could just, at 6 o'clock, if you go to the side room in the dining room of Mitchell, it's called Mitchell. It's one of those little side rooms off of our dining room. She just wants to have a brief, quick meeting with you about tomorrow and make sure you have all that you need, okay? So I think God will do a lot through those appointments tomorrow.
He absolutely will. All right, we got another video. This is from Multiply Vineyard, some stories about church planting.
Hey, folks, Phil Strouder. You know, being part of the vineyard, you know that multiplying church is part of our DNA. We also all recognize the fact that there's some difficulties involved. We don't mind the difficulties. We're just going to look at them, address them, and I think we're going to overcome them. So enjoy these next stories.
God told me, Nikki, you're going to Cloquet. You're going to Cloquet. It was like you released to go. It wasn't Nikki, go to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Go to where the sun is. It was Nikki, go to Cloquet. I'll never forget that.
Somebody said that they saw in us one day being pastors. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand what that was.
So we started our church out of the Arvada Vineyard, and we took about 100 leaders with us then to have a neighborhood church, like a local church in Westminster that would serve Westminster, that specific city.
Well, as we planted the Arvada Vineyard, our heart was for neighborhoods, you know, being locally focused. And that's how the dream was developed. You know, we'd be a family of neighborhood churches.
You know, we sent a good, good group of leaders. I mean, it was many leaders. It probably took 50 or, you know, even more leaders that had been with us for 10 years as well.
And at some point, you just go, oh gosh, how are we going to do this without them? And so that kind of comes crashing down on you as the reality comes closer that these guys are actually going to go and do this thing.
When we sent Chris and Nikki out, I thought, you know, they're only going 30 miles away. I'll see them all the time. But the first weekend that they weren't with us after being with us for so many years, I felt a grief that I didn't even understand. Like, what is this feeling? Why do I feel so sad today?
Or you lose people and money and resources and leaders, and you win a kingdom reward, which is seeing more people come to Christ, watch people step in calling.
That if you hold people open-handedly, like we've been taught in the vineyard for years, and you try to participate in what God's doing, it's like He meets your needs. And sometimes it's not all your wants and your desires, but like He's really met our needs.
They just said, there's a lot of Hispanics in Burnsville. I came and saw it. They need God in their lives. And I said, yes, I want to do that.
Reaching the community, reaching the Hispanic populations, it's opened up our eyes to people around us that were always there, but we just didn't notice them. We were challenged by people, with us, people who were uncomfortable with diversity, because diversity is hard. They didn't understand why we were doing this, and they would make comments that were like us and them, and I would have to redirect them and say, no, this is weak.
We want to grow locally, but we also want to see the kingdom of God expanding all over Minnesota.
Our dream is that every person in Carlton County could live and experience a good and beautiful life. I don't know anyone who wouldn't want that.
I'm still convinced that church planting is the best thing we can do to make an impact in cities.
Kingdom people don't keep everything to themselves. They give away and they give generously.
God used the vineyard to change the church as a whole in a lot of ways as a movement. When it comes to diversity and the challenges of our time, that God could use this again to change the church as a whole and thus change the world.
It's just the very nature of the church that it reproduces and goes to the next neighborhood, the next town, the next city, the next village, the next urban area. That's like the whole nature of this thing.
We've always been a church planting movement. That is who we are. And if we lose the center of who we are, I don't know what we are anymore. That's what we are. We're a church planting movement.
What if you said yes to the nudges that the Lord's given you right now? As a pastor, to multiply a church. As a church planter, taking a risk. I think you would be wonderfully surprised
Amen. Yeah. You know, I can't really say much to add to that. We plant churches in the Vineyard because God loves people. And there are people all around us who don't yet know him and that need a community to be discipled in and to be engaged with and to learn how to obey everything Jesus said to do. That's why we do this thing. There's incredible tension in it. It's one of the hardest things and one of the most fun things that you ever get to be involved in. And so saying yes to Jesus is always this risky deal, but it's the coolest adventure that you'd ever get to live. And so, like, if you want to find out more about that, want to talk about that, I'll be hanging out just outside those doors at the Multiply Vineyard booth for quite a bit of this event. And you can grab me anywhere along the way. We're going to do a breakout session where we're going to talk about church planting, and we'll talk about whomever is in the room wants to talk about. Like, we'll just dial up anything there. I don't have anything pre-planned canned that I'm going to give you. I just want to know, like, what the questions are that you've got. So if you want to hear more about that, if you want to talk about that, if you feel like God's stirring something up, let's just have a conversation. It's more fun than any human being ought to be able to have in your life. It's awesome. So here's what we want to do. We're going to actually pray over a couple different groups of people here in the next few minutes just to honor them and thank them. So if you are a current church planter, or if you're part of a church planting team, or if you've just recently like sent out church planters and you're feeling some of the pain from that, if you fit into those categories, you're involved in church planting in the Vineyard in the Midwest North region, I want you to stand right now, and I'm going to invite Ross Nelson to come up, and we just want to pray over you and really bless what God's doing. So stand up right now. You're part of that group. You've recently planted a church, and I'll let you decide how recent is. Like, you guys get to decide that. There's a list of all the church plants we've sent out. If you don't know if you're one of them or not, there's a list like right here in this little
video. In the booklet.
You can figure it out, right?
Last 5 years.
Or if you've sent out a church plant, like you've recently sent somebody out, or, you know, over the last 5 years, like we sent out, you know, Chris and Nikki, we talked about it in the video. Like, man, Duluth Vineyard, 2 years later, we're still feeling that. It's like, it's a big deal. You guys left a gaping hole. It's going to take like 27 couples to fill like the space that you left there. We just want to pray for and bless that, because this is like a huge deal. It doesn't come without expense, and it like was really like what we're called to do. So I'll start praying. Ross can finish it off. And
why don't you guys lay hands on the people that you're around?
Yeah, if you're around them, you want to reach out and bless them and lay hands on them. We're so thankful for what God's doing in so many parts of our movement. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are continuing to offer us invitations. You're continuing to invite us into what you're doing. And we just say thank you, Lord. Let somebody get back there by Chris and Nikki. Just put your hands on there and bless them. I love you guys. We just say thank you, Lord, for your invite. And thank you for the way that you never actually give us like easy jobs. You never give us easy things to do. You invite us to follow you like lock, stock, and barrel with everything we've got. Hey, Ross Nelson, stay up here. And so we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your graciousness in that you include us in what you're doing. And I just ask, over these next couple days, would you really care for and surround and bless these men and women in the ways that they've said yes to you? In whatever way that is, I just ask that you would encourage them, that you would meet their needs, that you would put the relational connections around them and everything that they need around them. And we just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Lord, we thank you for your word. And in the Psalms, it talks about going out weeping, carrying seed to sow, and returning with joy in the presence of the Lord with the sheaves. And Lord, I just bless, Lord, just the seed work that's going on in everyone's life that are planting churches right now, Lord. Yeah. We pray increase on that, Jesus. Would you come and just, Lord, just have your hand over each one of them, Lord, and bring the increase. Bring the increase. And Lord, also, the Lord was just, as Michael was praying here, if there's people here who just have an inkling of that you might want to plant someday in your life. It might be 20 years down the road or whatever. If you guys could stand up now too. And don't be chickens neither. Okay, you just got it, just like an inkling in you that like, oh my, yeah, there we go. Thanks for your courage there. Anyone else want to stand up? There we go. Let's gather around these people as they stand up. Because we're at a Vineyard conference, and this is what happens at Vineyard conferences, where the Holy Spirit sneaks up on you and say, I'm going to ambush that person at this conference. So Holy Spirit, come on these people who were bold enough to stand right now. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you just well up in them. In fact, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that their heart would even start beating faster right now, Lord. Because they stood and they recognized the beginnings of the calling on their life, Lord. And I just thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for these people, these precious gifts that you have given to us, your body. And so, Lord, increase right now. Lord, let your revelation come. Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, speaking to some of you is that there's actually even a place that he's putting it on your heart, or a people that he's placing on your heart, that he's going to quicken that to you even now as we're praying. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. That's it, more. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, just let him drop that into your spirit. And mark them now, Lord. Just mark them with that. Mark them with that place or mark them with the people. Ruin them for life, Lord, now. Yeah, they can't go any other direction. They don't want to turn back. They don't want to go any other place but where you're calling them to right now. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just seal a deal now. Just seal a deal. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Just pray increase. Those people who are praying for those people right now, just pray for increase right now. Just say, Lord, increase right now your presence on each one of these precious people, these precious people. Yes, Lord, increase. Thank you, Jesus. Just let them increase. Thank you, Jesus. No. Lord, we pray against the powers of darkness that would bring confusion right now in Jesus' name. Say no to you, powers of darkness. You're not going to have your way with these people. No, in the name of Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, just for clarity now in their spirit, clarity in their emotions, clarity in their minds, Lord, right now. And we banish fear in the name of Jesus too. God promises that he'll go with you and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the sure promise. God is going to be with you. Thank you, Jesus. Just bring the comfort and alleviate those fears. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm just seeing a picture of the Lord just opening up paths right now for some people. Just the paths before you are opening right now. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and release the resources, Jesus. All that's needed. We just thank you, Jesus, for that.
Amen.
In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Did you say he was our rep, regional rep?
Yeah, I want to, while you guys are taking a seat here, before we pray for the next group, Ross Nelson is our regional representative for Multiply Vineyard here in this area. And so you can chase down the Silver Fox. That's my new nickname for him with his cool hair. And you can ask him to continue to pray for you. He's like really connected to all the resources that we have in Multiply Vineyard. He's a great guy, and highly recommend you get to know him.
Cool. One other group, at each session we're going to honor and pray for certain groups of people. And one other group that we wanted to pray for and just honor is our seasoned kind of veteran vineyard folks who have been doing this for 20 plus years or so. And, you know, these are people that would be really good for you as younger people to connect with and to watch watch how they do ministry for the long haul. So if that's you, if you fit in that category, maybe you're even retired or you're going to get ready to transition or, you know, would you stand up? Because we'd love to honor and pray for you
as well.
So
people who have been doing ministry 20 plus years,
yep.
Right, or maybe retired, yeah, go ahead and stand up. Man, we're so thankful for this group of people. This is a great group. Some of you are afraid to admit you've been around.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really thought there would be more of you standing.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Mike and Char, you guys are in this group too, and Steve and...
Yeah,
very good. There we go. The Marsdens. Yeah. Well, these are folks who have, you know, stuck to the main of the plane and put their head down and walk, man, they've been in the trenches, and they're people that you could actually come and have conversation with or ask for an impartation from or, you know, just kind of pick their brain about hard things that you're navigating, and there's no doubt in my mind that they would love to, you know, pray with you and help you and point you and help you navigate that. So I would love it if we could just honor and pray for this group of people right now. So same thing, why don't you come around them if you would, and we're going to pray for them. Father, it's so obvious to so many of us that are here that these are the people who mentored us. These are the people who we're where we are because of their investment in our life.
That's right.
And so we honor them and we lift them up to you. And we thank you That's for right. the model that they have given us of marriage and a spirit-filled ministry and leadership. And, you know, even walking through difficult and hard times, God, we wouldn't be the leaders that we are. We wouldn't be where we are today. We might not have hung in there if not for what they've invested in us, Lord. And so we bless and we honor and we thank you, Lord, for the life that they've lived so well.
That's right. I personally look around this room at those of you that are standing and think of all the different ways that you've just invested in my life. And so, Lord, I ask that you would multiply that investment, that as these folks continue to invest, as they continue to pour out, Lord, I ask that you would multiply that through generations of leaders, followers of Christ in different cities, in different neighborhoods, even in different nations around the world. And we just bless you in Jesus' name. We are so thankful for you and for the gifts that you bring. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, I ask that you would give those of us that are not standing, that aren't part of this group, would you give us a willingness, even a hunger, a desire to come and learn from those who have been doing this for a significant number of years, to really see that faithfulness as this incredible gift that we would continue to draw out from them, things that they have learned along the way. God, would you bless us as a people, as a community, and really continue to pour into us from these seasoned leaders who really have walked down this path for a considerable length of time. Yeah, and so, Lord, we just thank you for the whole community, for the folks that have just started doing this, to the folks that have been doing this for a long time. We thank you that we get to be together in community, learning and growing and encouraging, challenging and supporting and loving one another. And we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this group.
Amen. We bless you guys. We thank you for all the ways you've served so many of us. Serve the Lord. Yeah. Well, just a couple of thoughts here before we invite our speakers up. We're just going to introduce them and do a little Q&A with them so you can kind of hear their story before dinner tonight. And they're going to come up, and Steve Nichols is going to come up because he's been a part of their journey as leaders. But when I started this journey of being a regional leader 5 years ago, I kind of had this fear settle on me that this, you know, leadership, as I've experienced in my own local church, and I'm sure you have, that it definitely exposes my weaknesses. And I knew that I probably wouldn't be able to be the leader that God wanted me to be. or who he was inviting me to be if I didn't grow and if I didn't like experience more and more transformation in my life along the way personally as a leader. And so I did several things. It was a little bit of an oh God thing. And, you know, I started to set some personal growth and transformation goals and kind of pressed into asking God, how can I become the leader that you're inviting me to be and do the things that you want me to do with the assurance that I'm doing it in a way that really reflects you and that I treat people the way that you would treat them and love them the way that you love them. And the more leadership, you know, that God gives us, as I'm sure you're finding this out too, it's like the more I have to kind of self-lead myself into areas of transformation and growth. And this is something the Lord's really been pressing in on me about, even in the last couple of years. But nobody's going to really make us do that. Nobody's going to make us do the hard work of personal transformation, inner transformation. It's something that it happens between you and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit invites you as a leader into a place of personal transformation. And I want to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, because as I've kind of reflected on this, this is a scripture that God's given me about transformation. Since we stand before so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, with our eyes set on Jesus, who initiated our faith and will bring it to perfection. And, you know, that last part, you know, as I put my eyes on Jesus, you know, I pretty much have lots of days where I fail at transformation and the things that God's doing me. But he continually reminds me, like, this is my work in you. I'm doing this work in you. I'm going to perfect it in you. And I just see such a picture of transformation kind of spelled out there in Hebrews for us. And as I've kind of learned more and more about that, I have a place that I like to hide where you can't see my limits. And that, you know, it's easiest to not acknowledge them so that you can continue to go on and think I'm a fantastic leader. And, you know, that it's best if you don't know about all of my fears and my flaws and my failures. And that, you know, I really do get hurt when people reject me. And I am insecure sometimes. And I do try to get love by serving people and, you know, hoping that they never find out that I have these limitations. But when they're exposed, and you actually find out about them, I'm not relieved that you finally know the truth. I'm actually covered in this deep shame. And then the enemy comes and gets on it and says, you know, how in the hell do you think you're going to be that leader, you know, with all of that shame and with all of those insecurities? And, you know, he kind of manifests this shame voice and it, you know, becomes really dark. And so as a part of my healing, as I've kind of like begun to expose some of this to the people that God keeps telling me you can trust, I've put people in your life that you can trust. And, you know, it's my family, it's my staff, it's my close friends, it's my coaches and my mentors. As I've kind of pressed into this, you know, healing that God wants to do in me to become more authentic, to become honest about what he's doing, I started trying to just practice sharing and letting people into that healing process and letting people see the real me and letting people pray for me at that place of real need. And here's the interesting thing. Every time I think this is going to be really bad, because when they find out what I really struggle with, surely they're going to, you know, fire me. Who wants a pastor with that much crap going on? Who wants a friend? Who needs a friend like that, you know, with all those limitations? And, you know, every time you hear the enemy kind of trying to talk you out of being transparent, being honest, letting somebody else into your healing process, you know, in those conversations where you can pray with each other, every time so far, you know, God's people, when I'm honest about my limitations and my shame, God's people show me Jesus. I only experience grace. I only experience them saying, we love you anyway, even though that might be true. I only experience them helping me get to Jesus and experiencing his heart. And I walk away feeling incredibly loved. And like, even with all that going on, my real deal, I'm still valuable and I'm still loved. And God's changing my definitions of a good leader. You know, when I feel like I'm not courageous enough, he's like, wait, you know, you're way more courageous when you're vulnerable and honest than you are when you're pretending like you're overconfident. So he's kind of redefining my definitions and teaching me how to be a vulnerable and there's safety in being vulnerable as a leader, and that I will learn how to lead out of my most kind of authentic self one day with the help of God, and I will be confident of who I am and his love for me as a leader. So when I'm experiencing this kind of transformation, and this kind of leads into, I think, some of what God has for us and some of his heart for us over the next couple days. And if I could want one thing for you, it would be that you would have these conversations with each other where you talk about what God's doing in you or what you long for or what you've been praying for that you've wanted and not gotten or your biggest, greatest fears, and that you would feel safe enough with God's people to be honest and to help each other get to Jesus and experience his heart for you, and that you would find that there is grace for that, for us as leaders. And, you know, God is bringing me to this conclusion that if we're as leaders, if we're not leading out of a place of transformation, if we're not leading out of a place of our lives being changed, then we might not really be leading, because we're probably sustaining something or maintaining something, but we're not teaching people how to become a disciple follower of Jesus who is, you know, on mission with God and doing what God's doing, because we're lacking in our own growth and transformation. So we're sustaining, but maybe not leading. And that's really captured me, and I'm really praying into that. And I think my prayer for this week is that we can kind of put our eyes on Jesus, trust that this is a safe place as leaders, that we can learn to be. And I think we're growing this. I think we're creating a culture where this can happen. But I've experienced it so deeply, and it's been so transformative, that if you haven't yet, I'm going to keep encouraging you to take that risk with each other and trust one another and pray for each other and experience some compassion and just kind of stop the pretending and let God come and meet you in your real place of need. Well, I'm excited to introduce these guys.
Yeah. Is that my handoff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm sometimes clueless.
So I think you're mesmerized by me.
I was.
Sometimes.
That's good. I like that. It's good. Thanks for leading the way. No, really, honestly, thanks for leading the way and showing us kind of who you really are and inviting us into that kind of authenticity. It's awesome. All right, Brenda and I want to invite up Andy and Harmony Smith and Steve Nicholson. And we invited Andy and Harmony to come hang out with us this week. Come on, just come on right up here, you guys. Grab the stairs and go back here to these stools behind us. Brenda and I have known Andy and Harmony since probably about 2002, I think it is. We were on a trip over to Ireland and working with some of the Vineyard churches over there. And we were there the kind of the week that the senior pastor of that church stepped down and just handed the church off to them. And we became close friends in almost a period of crisis, you know, where we were just kind of helping them think through some of that stuff. And then we've become really good friends. I'm hanging out in front of you guys. And become really good friends since then. We've seen God do a ton in their lives. To where, at this point, these guys are overseeing Ireland as a region and overseeing the other Vineyard churches in Ireland. Harmony oversees Vineyard worship for the UK, for the whole country. Isn't that right? Am I right there? Yep. Is that kind of embarrassing? No, okay. Grab that mic right there. And so they're on that team. They're overseeing that. They're part of the kind of the national board over there. And so these guys are really good at actually training up leaders and sending them out in their unique setting. And but Steve kind of helped identify that in them early and began to mentor them. And we just thought it'd be really cool to do like a little bit of a Q&A and invite them to kind of talk about their experience with that and some of the stuff that they've learned from that. Hopefully that we can learn some stuff from that as well. So I'm going to get over here and Why don't you just let's just kind of go down the line for people who haven't met you. We'll start with Steve. Let's just kind of go down the line. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Like, what do you do? Why do you love this whole leadership development? Like, why do you love leadership development?
Okay. My mic's not. Oh, there we go. I'm Steve. I'm pastoring the Evanston Vineyard, and in January it will have been 42 years.
Wow. So,
I told Andy all those guys standing up for 20 years, they're just whippersnappers. They're just barely getting started at 20. I have loved training other leaders ever since I was in college. I read a little book called Master Plan of Evangelism by a guy named Lyman Coleman, which is actually not about evangelism, it's about discipleship. But it just talked about the power of multiplication. And I was hooked.
Like, that's what I want to do with my life. That if you train leaders, you can do lots more. Because those leaders become leaders who train other leaders, who become leaders that train other leaders, and it multiplies. And I thought, that would be a good way to spend my life.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's good. Andy.
Well, I'm Andy. It is great to be with you. I actually grew up in Michigan and went to university down near Chicago at Trinity. That's where I met Steve and where I met my wonderful wife as well. And somehow, maybe I'll tell a little bit of the story in a minute, we ended up in Ireland and have been there. I was just saying to Steve, we arrived in January of 2001, so that's almost, what, 16 years, almost 17 years now in Ireland. And we don't know where we're from anymore. We just spent the last couple of days in Michigan and reconnecting with home. And it's kind of like, what side of the ocean am I on right now? What passport to use? So anyway, why do I love leadership development? Well, I heard that talk that you just heard from Steve a long time ago in Evanston when I was weighing up, like, where is my life going to go? And how am I going to be best used by the Lord? And I heard that, what you just heard, and I thought, that sounds like the best thing I've ever heard, and so that's why I love it too.
That's good. Harmony.
What's the question?
Oh, just introduce yourself a little bit, talk a little bit about yourself, as well as why do you love leadership development?
Well, we met at Trinity University in Chicago, but I grew up in Austria. My parents were missionaries, so I am that dreaded missionary kid. And I was on a trajectory of going to law school and trying to rescue people without Jesus because of my upbringing. And part of that was that in my context, women weren't really released to lead beyond children and playing the piano and things like that. And so I met the Vineyard, and my goodness, did it throw everything up in the air for me. I met the Holy Spirit. I met women that were leading. And it just kind of ruined me and changed the course of my life forever. That prayer that, silver-haired fox, right? Yeah, right? I can't remember your real name now. This is terrible. But that prayer about being ruined forever, that was me.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you guys met Steve. Like, just give us a little bit of the background on that.
Well, I can tell you how I met Steve. I went along to the Evanston Vineyard on a dare because I was 19. I just arrived at Trinity, and I grew up a good Lutheran boy, and then as a radical move, joined the Evangelical Free Church, you know, so it got a little crazy. And then I was down at Trinity, of course, knew all the answers to all the questions, heard about this thing called the Toronto Blessing or something, and heard about this church, the Evanston Vineyard, where they danced in worship. And they prophesied, which I knew was impossible. So I went along on a dare to go and see, and I couldn't believe what I saw when I showed up there, met the Holy Spirit powerfully. But how I met Steve is, the building's different now, but they used to meet in high school, and Steve used to stand in one of the corridors where everybody met, came in and greeted everyone, and that's where we met, first time.
Yep, I met him on his way in, and
decided I'm going to keep my eye on that one.
What was it that you saw that you said, I'm going to keep my eye on that one? What'd you see?
First of all, that he would take a dare.
That he would take a dare to come to the Evanston Vineyard.
Yeah.
How'd you know that right away?
Well, yeah, I think he told me.
Oh, really? So you walk in and you say, I'm here on a dare.
A couple of weeks, I wasn't that bold, but a couple of weeks later, and when I was just trying to figure out what happened, because of course I met the Holy Spirit and saw, I saw things I'd never seen before, saw people get healed. I didn't think that was possible or that you were allowed to do that. I met people who were prophesying and telling me things I'd never told anyone but Jesus, and saw the poor mixing with everybody else. I just saw an amazing place, and I was confused and ruined in a really good way, and began to then chat with Steve and unpack some of that stuff.
So first of all, he would take a dare. What else did you see?
He wanted to learn.
There you go.
I was teaching this thing called Future Pastors Class, and it was for anybody who thought they might want to be a future pastor, and he heard about it and started coming. And so, yeah.
Go ahead. You had something, Future Pastors Class.
Yeah, I think you ran that class under like 8 different names. I went to all of them, and I just showed up in all the environment. I just saw something. I guess what I would say, because people ask me frequently, like, what was it about the Evanston Vineyard or your context? And there were amazing things that were happening there, but what I saw was something plausible in that it was church in a way that I could do it, done by people that, like, I thought, I looked at Steve and Cindy, I thought, well, I could at least try what they're doing. And it felt believable to me, like I could actually do it. So I just unplugged the microphone. I just followed them around and tried to get in whatever rooms that they were in and tried to learn whatever it was that they knew.
One of the reasons that I think we wanted to do this session like this is every single one of us have Andes and Harmonies in our churches, in our small groups, in our ministries, and pretty much every single one of us can do a lot of the stuff that Steve did with these guys. And so when it comes to leadership development, I just want to make that like really clear. It's like I wanted you guys to kind of see a little bit of how they met and kind of what they did. I'm going to keep asking them some questions, but then in a little bit, I wonder if some of you might have some questions, and I'll come running out there with the microphone, or at least walking slowly, and we can pose some of our questions to these guys along the way as well. So, Steve, when you were running that kind of future pastors class, or I think I heard it called like the Barnabas group at one point, or it's like, what kinds of things were you thinking about as you prepared like to do those different classes? Like, help us with that.
I just wanted to tell them all the stuff about leadership and about ministry that nobody else was telling me.
Okay. Like what kinds of things?
Well, like how to raise leaders, how to get people, how to solve problems, how to resolve conflicts, most of them were coming from seminary, so they were getting plenty of theology and Bible. But they weren't getting very many practical things, so I wanted to be very practical. I was giving them lots of practical stuff.
That's good.
And I just watched to see who was turning up at everything.
Yeah.
You know, first rule of leadership, show up.
So if they're not showing up, like,
then I don't pay any attention to you.
There you go. That's awesome.
I'm just looking for who does show up. Those are the people I'm going to pay attention to. Because here's the deal. This is one of the things John Wimber taught me early on. He used to tell us, and he beat this into us by repeating it over and over. Feed what you want, starve what you don't want. And you feed and you starve by what you pay attention to. Okay? So I pay attention to the people who like come to everything.
That's good.
Who show that they want to learn.
Yeah. So, Harmony, jump in here. Like, when did you come along in this whole thing?
Well, I tried to run away a few times, but when I was marrying Andy, he came with the Vineyard, and he came with Belfast by that stage, thanks to Steve, who took him on a few ministry trips. So that's how I came on the scene, was we got married. But I did really fall in love with the Vineyard, and I did really, really really find myself in a real in a pinch because I couldn't go anywhere else. And I don't think that we were the smartest or the most gifted, you know, coming back to the thing about, you know, what was it that Steve saw in us. I think what you're trying to draw out here, the us, the Andes and Harmonies in your churches, I don't think we were the smartest, the gift, the most gifted, and the most obvious people for the leadership game. but here we are. So no one is more surprised than me most days.
So when you say that, like, so I totally get that because I feel the exact same way, right? But like what did you bring? Like, as you look back, what did you bring to the table besides just showing up that kind of helped along the way?
I had a lot of questions. I brought a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit, about, you know, because I grew up thinking it was God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Bible. So it was a big question for me. The question of, can the poor be in our service alongside the middle class and the wealthier? That was a big question for me. The question of, are there Christian leaders who will build the kingdom of God rather than their own kingdom, which had been my experience. I saw Steve, and I was really scratching my head trying to figure out what on earth was he doing. It was different. So yeah, I had a lot of questions.
That's good. So you came with questions. Yeah. Cool. How did? Go ahead, Andy.
I just early on decided, Harmony's not joking. We didn't feel like we were the most talented, and we were certainly had people who were around us and planting churches that were crazy gifted and smart. But I think we just decided that we would ask a lot of questions, and we would try what people said, like people like Steve, people like Michael and Brenda. We just try their advice. We would actually do it first rather than do that thing where, well, that'll never work in Belfast or Highland Park or wherever. We'll try it. We'll actually do it and do our best and give it a shot first.
I'd like to say something about that. Because back in those days, we had a lot of people who were much louder. These guys are kind of quiet. And in certain ways, more gifted. They didn't want to do what we told them to do. They didn't want to, like, you know, kind of do anything that might be standard. They had to do something different. They had to be, you understand what I mean? None of them are in ministry today. Not one. These guys, they just said, tell us what to do and we'll do it. And they were just willing to just, like, okay, if this is the hard work that's entailed, if these are the bases we have to cover, then we're going to do it. And they didn't have to, like, make their mark or do it their way or any of that kind of stuff. And they're the most successful church planters we've ever had. There you go.
That's good. It's the main in the plane, doing the main in the
just
plane,
main in the plane, yeah.
Not, you know, saying I have to do something shiny and flashy and new and cutting edge, and
yeah.
But doing the main in the plane.
Exactly.
Brenda, I don't want to leave you out of the
conversation. Oh, you're not. I'll just say whatever, whenever I want.
There you go.
I got a microphone right here. You're doing a good job.
Okay. So, Steve, what else did you see, or what else were you feeding? You know, that you saw in them as you're going along?
Well, you know, I met with Andy regularly. I would meet with him, I mean, not like every week, but maybe once a month or something.
We connect in some way.
And I just kept track of what was happening in his head. Like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you dreaming? What's God saying to you? And then he, somewhere along the line, he said, well, I felt like God said something to me about Ireland.
Yep.
I think that's what happened.
You were the first person that didn't laugh at me when I said that, so there you go.
So he says, I think God said something about Ireland. I said, oh, I'm going to Ireland in whenever. Come with me. So he said, all right, I'm there.
Well, and tell me a little bit about, do you remember that first trip?
Oh, I remember that first trip. I knew Steve. I'd been around Evanston a while, but so then this is the first ministry trip, and I had seen the prophetic I had met some really prophetic people at the Evanston Vineyard, but I'd never really done anything like that myself. So we were in Dublin doing some stuff down there, and then we took a there was a bomb on the railway line. Long story, we're in a bus on the way up to Belfast, and going to do this meeting in this hotel called the Le Mans Hotel. First night in Belfast, and I didn't really know what the night was going to be about. So I sat down next to Steve. You're talking like 1 minute to go before this thing starts, the meeting starts. So I said, "What's it going to be about tonight?" And he says, "Well, we're going to do some worship. I'm going to do a talk, and then you're going to get up and do prophetic words." And I said,
you'd never done this before.
Never done this before.
He did that to me, too.
And I said, "Steve, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that before." And he said, "Well, you better start listening to God then."
Yeah.
And he got up and he started the meeting. So had I been in the United States, I'd have left. But I was I didn't know how to get home from Ireland, so I was stuck.
Oh, were you along on this trip, or is this... You weren't along on this.
It was great. It worked great.
So, why do you do that? Like, you're motivated because you know that, you know, something good is going to happen, but the theory behind this method of yours that has worked.
The theory is that there are some things that are in you that you'll never do because you think yourself out of them.
That's good. That's golden.
You could tweet that.
Tweet that.
Hashtag.
All right, you got it? There's
say it again.
Some things in you that you will never do because you think yourself out of them. Mm-hmm. And so I see those things and I throw them in the deep end. Mm-hmm. When there's not enough time to think your way out. Mm-hmm. And once they've done it the first time, well, then you're over that. You're past that. And you'll just keep doing it for the rest of your life.
So have you done that with people and it's just failed miserably?
No, I don't take risks in that sense.
Sounds risky to me.
It sounds risky, but I only do it when I'm pretty sure I know what's in there.
Because you've never done that to me.
Good one.
I didn't have to because you went to Duluth to take that dying church.
Oh, there you go.
That did it all. Right?
That did it all right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's just like, you know, I was pretty, I'm, you know, if I'm not sure, I don't want to set anybody up for failure.
Yeah.
You understand? So, when I'm doing that, I'm pretty confident that they're not going to.
And it is because you see God on them, you see leadership, you see the way they're responding to those opportunities, and you know the next step.
Yeah, and I just know that they'll sometimes think themselves, they'll just think about it too much.
Yeah.
Rather than just go do it. So I take care of that.
So Andy, do you remember that first time doing that? Like when it was all done, what was going on inside internally?
I couldn't believe that it worked. Like I...
Yeah.
I did my best, and what was really interesting is Steve was stood right behind me, and you know, I just gave my best prophetic word, and then he would be like, "Is there any more?" You know, he was just kind of really coaching right in my ear, and I just felt like, okay, he's here, he's not going to let me completely fail, and it felt like, okay, maybe I can do this. This isn't so scary after all, and I was amazed at what happened, actually.
That's really good. So, Harmony, did that kind of experience happen to you? Or when did you begin to, like, step into some leadership stuff and you begin to see God kind of back that up?
Well, Steve paved the way for us to get to Belfast. And Andy and I got married pretty quickly. And we've established it was less than a year after we got married that we went to Belfast. And so... as interns in Belfast, we were completely launched into the deep end on every level. And so I think that's when I really
that's when
was...
You really
that's when
up.
The rubber hit the road, yeah. Mm-hmm.
'Cause I remember when I got there, when I came to Belfast, it was like 2002, I think it was the summer, so you'd only been there about a year, mm-hmm. Is that right? And you were staying for like a two-year internship, I think. And then like you were stepping up into some pretty substantial leadership. And then all of a sudden now, you're like the senior pastors of the church after a year internship.
I know, it's pretty crazy. And we were 24 and 27. So that's the other thing I'm constantly telling myself is just remember how young you were. And who on earth would go to a church with a pastor who's that age? But people did. So I don't know. It does. I am challenged by that in releasing leaders now that I'm 40.
In releasing younger leaders who are
24.
Yeah,
because, I mean, we somehow made it, even though right. we were super young.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really cool. Well, we want to move into a little bit of ministry time. It's we got about 15 minutes before Brenda told me that we're wrapping up here at 5. Is that right, honey?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it won't be a big deal if we're a few minutes after, but.
What are there some other kind of thoughts about this while I got all of you on stage, all four of you on stage? Are there some other thoughts about this leadership development, kind of identifying people, feed what you want, starve what you don't? Like, were there some things, Steve, that you saw in these guys that you wanted to starve? Or was it mostly just feed, feed, feed?
Well, mostly just feed.
What are things that you starve in other leaders? Not these guys, but what are some things, like, when you say starve what you don't want, like, give me some examples of that.
What I mean, when I say starve what you don't want, I mean, like, don't be paying attention all the time to the cranky people. Yeah? Can I hear an amen on that one? Like, if you do that, you're just going to get more cranky people. Who wants that?
They reproduce like bunnies.
You can have one cranky person that, like, dominates your entire thought life.
That's true.
While you're neglecting leaders to be that are right in front of your face.
That's good.
And, like, don't do that. Like, starve those people out of your church.
For more on that, Steve is going to start a blog called Starve Those People Out of Your Church.
Oh, my word.
I just want to sit and say, tell me more about how to do that. I want to do that. How to do that.
Yeah. What are there others? Okay, so give me some more.
I remember there just was the culture there where at first it was super releasing. So it just felt like you could go and plant a church anywhere. It was just an amazing church that was built there that just, you know, that was like the normal culture. Like, you're yeah. going to go and do something. And just, what is it? What's God saying to you? And really releasing. It was normal to go lead a small group. Go for it. Go, go, go. But one of the things that was always starved is people's daddy and mommy issues. That I remember really clearly. Like, Steve would never let me or anyone else, like, give all the daddy issues, all that stuff. And I think Steve and Cindy and Bill and Cheryl were amazing spiritual mothers and fathers, but it didn't let any of that weirdness, like, you know, I'm getting my needs met through Steve. They always pointed me to Jesus and what he was doing in my life and what he was sowing in my life, and they wanted to release that rather than some weird codependent thing. So that was starved in me. I remember that.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good.
The other thing I just add is it's been an ongoing relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never really stopped. At certain points along the way, you know, we've had new things, you know, as God sort of ups the ante for Harmony and Andy, then we have new things to talk about and new challenges. But, you know, now it's fun. I'm going to enjoy this week just sitting in the back and watching them do the teaching. Mm. You know, that's 100 times better than teaching yourself. Mm. Do you understand that?
Do you think we miss that? Because, you know, we think that the fun in that is us doing it, but there is as much joy in watching someone else do what they're for as doing it yourself.
Oh, more.
Yeah,
more. It's much better than doing it yourself.
That's like the grandparent thing coming out right
there.
Yeah.
Grandparent.
Times eight.
Times eight.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. All right. Others? Anything else?
Well, I just want to say that it's I'm having one of those moments sitting here on the stage with Steve and then with Michael and Brenda, because they're being very humble. They saved our bacon and
absolutely
wouldn't have made it without these guys. And so we have multiple mentors that we're thankful for. And so to sit on a stage with you guys is a bit overwhelming, really. So thank you and you for all of your investment, and you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all of you.
That's cool. Yeah, that's good. Good. I love the way that God's invited us into community and into relationship, and we really do get to do like all this stuff together in some pretty cool ways. And whether we're kind of younger or older, whether we're like at a certain stage of mentor or a mentee, it's like we're all like giving things to one another that's incredibly beneficial. These two have become like two of my best friends like in the world. We laugh together, we cry together, we make fun of one another endlessly, and it's just like it's been really cool the way that God's like knit our hearts together as we kind of pour into one another's lives. And so it's incredibly fun the way that God allows us in community to do that. All right, so some ministry. Like, what are there things that God is highlighting, like, in the room to you guys? I'm going to turn it over to you three or four and just say, what's God doing right now? What are we going to do?
You guys have, like, some thoughts about, like, what God would want kicking off here, focusing on leadership development, discipleship. You know, what are some of the ways that we can kind of posture ourselves to really lean into this and, you know, just hear the Lord's heart for us and say yes to it? Andy was going to say, go ahead. You guys don't be so shy. You know, just.
Are we doing ministry?
We're doing ministry. You're going to lead us into ministry time simultaneously while you answer that question.
Okay.
That was to prompt you to start to lead ministry time. Why don't you guys all stand up? I think you think better when you're on your feet. And one of you guys stand up. And let's just begin to think about what God wants.
Here's my best effort to lead into ministry time and answer your question, Brenda.
Sorry.
Okay.
I can be a distraction. Thank you, Gino.
I completely forgot what I was going to say. The candle fell over.
Just pray. Start praying in the spirit.
Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. One of the things that happened a lot in my story was this. Just loads of different rooms, big rooms, small rooms. We invited the Lord's presence to come. We waited on him, and he ministered to his people. I think he wants to do that a lot this week. So Holy Spirit, would you pour out your refreshing presence? Would you highlight people even right here, right now, that need to hear from you? There's just a few of you that the Lord is highlighting to me, so I just would love to, if that's okay, just to prophesy out over you really quickly. Weigh and test these. You know how it works in the vineyard. If I tell you to move to Mexico, you know, just weigh and test that a little bit before you go. You're wearing a multicolored scarf that looks really warm, and yes. And are you here with someone? And is that your significant other? Your husband, okay. And were you standing for the church planting thing earlier? Great, okay. Can I just... I felt like the Lord was highlighting you guys to me in worship, and I feel a couple of things. Firstly, I feel like there's a trans-local anointing on you guys. So whatever it is you're planting right now, I think the Lord wants it bigger, like a lot bigger, like a trans-local thing. And it's probably early days now, and it's not to get puffed up or anything like that, but just carry this in your heart, that the Lord wants what he's building to be bigger, much bigger. I saw a picture of you like walking the boundaries of your county, like even out on country roads, walking the boundaries of your county
And it's like the boundaries expanding, and you're praying along those boundaries, and he wants to multiply what you're doing even more. And I think part of this word is for you to just persevere over decades, because he wants to build something that is translocal in influence. I also felt like I could see some gears, that it's kind of hard to, you're kind of grinding through the gears right now, maybe even relationally together. But I felt like the Lord was saying that there's oil of the Holy Spirit coming upon those things to smooth some things out, so watch for that. It feels like a bit of a grind right now, but it's going to smooth out soon. And then, what's your name with the scarf, sorry? Yeah.
Skylar.
Okay, I felt like you especially, there's a preaching anointing on. It's not like you don't have it, but definitely for you, and you're to be stepping out. And your good husband is going to be pushing you out in a healthy, really good, loving, supportive way. And the Lord has a lot for you. He's got a lot for the people in your community there. So Holy Spirit, would you grow something amazing in them and through them? We just bless them in Jesus' name. Hey, where are you planting?
Eau Claire,
Wisconsin.
Lord bless Eau Claire through these people and much, much wider. Lord, pray for a huge footprint in that part of Wisconsin.
You guys can pray. Keep praying for them if you're right around them.
Can I keep going? Is that okay?
Yeah, keep going.
All right. Peter. The last time I saw Peter was in Istanbul, of all places. After our conversation during worship, I was praying for you. I got this weird picture of a goose with three smaller geese, like babies, coming along behind it, like a goose putting the wing over the and protecting the smaller ones. And I felt like there's three people in your life or in your community right now that they're going to need a wing, and they're going to need some covering, and you're going to be involved. I think one of them's name is Philip, but that doesn't really matter. I just think there's three. The Lord's going to highlight them to you, and they need care, and they just need to be brought along, and it's just kind of a mothering thing. Then there's a significant pastoral anointing on your whole church. That's like one of your main things, that you pastor people well, so keep leaning into that. And then, you know, just to round off the, you know, the cheesy Irish metaphor, the goose is signifies the Holy Spirit. The wild goose signifies the Holy Spirit in Ireland. So I think there's like a Holy Spirit increase for your community there. So could I pray for you? Lord, highlight these people that Peter and his community are to bring along and to cover over and to even protect. Lord, would you just show them exactly who these people are? Would this happen, Lord? Would lives be saved? Would people be preserved in your kingdom because of their ministry? Lord, fan into flame, release more and more pastors. Not that they won't do more things as a community, but Lord, we just love that pastoral anointing on that church. Lord, we pray that it would be known in the community where people are loved and cared for and released really, really well. And we pray for visitation from you, Holy Spirit, upon even starting in their small groups this week and in their services this Sunday. Would you visit them in a way they've never been visited before? And would you just do some amazing things in their community? Just bless them in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I just sense that some of us here are carrying quite a heavy yoke of our ministry and our leadership. And I just sensed, even as we were worshiping, it is coming off the heavy yoke. And there's a lighter walk for you as a leader, and it's already happening. So if that connects with you at all, I don't know if are we meant to keep doing ministry?
Well,
or
yeah, let's
to
do this for that one, because I think I really hear that to you from the Lord. If you came here, like if you're here, and you know, all of us could probably raise our hand to this, but if you have a burden, a distraction, a hurdle to really being able to go to the place that God is inviting you to go over the next couple, it might take you a couple days to get past it. You don't have time for that. So we need to pray about that. So would you just raise your hand? You came here with a burden, a hurdle, something that is hurting or distracting you. Could you just raise your hand? Because we're just going to look around us, and we're just going to start to pray for you. So keep your hand up. If there's people right around you, let's just minister to that. Ask them what it is, and then begin to fight for what God wants for them. and minister to that need so that the distraction, the burden, the hurdle, the hurt isn't what has to keep them from really being able to receive from God. Just keep your hand up until everybody has somebody praying for them. Over here, my far left. Anyone not have someone praying for them that needs that? All right. Why don't you go ahead and just pray for that? And Holy Spirit, we just say yes to you and to your invitation and what you want for us. And we ask that you would protect your purpose for us in the coming days. We love you. Go ahead and pray for the people that you're laying hands on right now. And then you can take time to get to dinner. You don't have to get there right at 5, but you do have to get there before 6 in order to eat. Bless you guys.